Blog Talk Radio.
On Solar Records Radio. What's up, Phoenix?
Hey, how's it going, my good man?
Oh, it is going. It's going. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm having a problem with one of my microphones, so I switched to another one. But anyway, man, oh, man, this is it, and this is really it, Phoenix. This is it. I am so grateful to be here with you. I've been thinking about this moment, being back on the air with you. And so here we are, once again, doing our thing, man. God bless you, man. Appreciate you always being loyal to the cause, man, to be a blessing to the world. And you know, just all the people that listen to the show and stuff and get what they get out of it. I appreciate you always showing up, man. And despite your situation or whatever, you always there. So thank you. I just had to say that on the air for the listeners, because I needed you to know that, you know, especially you.
Yeah, I appreciate
so
that.
So anyway,
it's a privilege, always. It's a privilege,
amen.
You know, to be on a platform where you can reach so many people, and I always commend the audience, because I think that Solar Radio has the most intelligent audience I've ever come across. I mean, the questions or the expressions that are always written in are beyond just thought-provoking. Some of them are just mind-blowing, that how the audience is tuned in to this radio and the caliber of listeners that tune into this radio show demonstrates the truest blessing of what this radio show is really all about.
You That's know? Awesome.
It's a meeting. That's... It's a place where I would say it's the meeting of the minds. You know, we live in a fleshly, you know, carnivorous world where people are fleshly connected. But that's not the case with Solar. I mean, there are a lot of thinking people that come to this meeting ground to express their views on various topics. And it's refreshing. It encourages me to know that we're not alone in this world. We're not.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. And it is. Can you hear me okay here?
This mic, sure, this, I hear you.
Okay, cool. I got this mic to work again. And so, with that being said, I mean, it's I love the fact that I could always go to someone else and chop it up with them in regards to, you know, what I'm going through, what I experience, and see if they could either help me with it or I can help them, since we've been down the same road. But it's nice to have somebody there to listen to, you know, what you're going through, and maybe can help you through it and stuff. So with that being said, I'd like to, you know, chime in. And I think that this show really gives us exactly that. This show is really good for opening up some places, things, you know, points where people don't want to talk about these things. They don't want to, they're uncomfortable. They're not sure if people are going to receive it so respectfully. They're not sure if it's the right thing to do or not. So when we get on the air and we do it, then they can hear, hey, I'm not the only one. There's others that...
You know, I was thinking, Wardell, you know, you have this song, This Is It, which is a beautiful example of the music and the creative process that was happening during that space in our lives. Not so long ago, but long enough ago. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that you said struck a chord in my mind when we say this is it. It's almost equatable to taking a trip. And you anticipate going there, and you pick up the little toiletries or things you need. And at some point, you board the plane, the train, the boat, the car, what have you. And then you anticipate getting there. Well, we're not in that process anymore. We're all at the front gate to this is it. We are living in the moment. We are at the horizon. And it's a time for self-evaluation. You know, today's talk, we're talking about regret and not allowing someone to rain on that parade. How apropos that is, because, you know, I was talking to a buddy earlier before I got on the show, and he's a very intelligent brother. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to know a person to have that type of conversation. I know him very well. And I said to him, I said, you know, I respect you to the highest degree. You're a very intelligent person. But as you see my flaws, I see yours. And his flaw happens to be indecisive. You know, it's very difficult. You know, the other day we were trying to go to a restaurant. So it was like, well, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? And the whole time I knew what I wanted. I wanted some Italian food. I love Italian food. I'm thinking some creamy chicken fettuccine. Oh, man, with a nice garlic buttered bread and a glass of wine, red wine preferably. Man, I'm where I need to be. But I didn't want to exert my inference or energy. I just wanted to fall back and be one of the guys and say, hey, you know, whatever your guys are, I'm cool with it. And I wind up getting my little chicken parmesan sandwich. It satisfied me, a little pickle on the side. It was good, you know. But I told him, you're indecisive. That's your imperfection. He knows me as a spiritual person. He knows that I don't use profanity. I don't cuss or fuss or swear. You know, I'm a lover of one woman, I don't spread myself. I talk to a lot of people. I'm gregarious. But, you know, even within my current circumstance, she calls me a nerd. She says, you're a nerd. You're a vanilla man. You don't do anything. You don't have a lot of friends, which is not true. I know a lot of people. I'm just not one of those type of persons that go out into the street and gallivant around. And that's not me, dude. I'm an older person now, and I believe in putting myself in a situation where I'm around good people. I feed off of positive energies. I don't do drugs. I don't look down upon people who do, but I try to take good care of myself. You know, I'm in my 60s now. I'm early 60s, and somebody told me the other day, they said, oh, you're a liar. You're not 63. You're 39. No more than 39 years old. And I took that to heart. I said, well, you are what you eat. And that's not just physically. That's spiritually, too. And so today's topic is dealing with regret. Man, you know, like I said, we're not traveling. We're not going to get there. We're all at the apex of right now. This is it. And it's like, and we're dealing with regret. We're dealing with people perhaps that we've grown to a certain plateau, but maybe some of our friends have not grown at the same rate of acceleration. And so they stand in judgment and they tell you, oh, you shouldn't do this. And I told my buddy, I said, you know, I can listen to you with a grain of salt and I can take your information in and I can digest it. But at some point, I make the decision for me and my God as to what I shall do. And I'm, if nothing else, Wardell, I am so thankful that my parents raised me to be an independent thinker. And I'm not one of these people that do what everybody does. Hey, God bless you. I hope it pans out. But I knew kids when I was in high school, they said, man, we're going to steal a car and we're going to do this, man, and we're going to play hooky. And I go, it's not a good idea. But guess what? Yours truly wasn't a part of it.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I knew. I had parents I had to answer to when I got home.
Yes. And
my dad
and
was no joke.
That is key. I mean, you know, but so there, you know, I've had the same kind of situation where I knew I had to answer for my actions when I got home. I knew that was
right.
Always there. And so but their son, children don't have that kind of parenting. And that's really real unfortunate, because basically what that kind of means is that you can do whatever you want to do and nobody's going to say anything,
right.
You know. And
right.
Then as a child, we tend to do what we want to do anyway, and then we get in trouble by the parents that are paying attention, and they help to mold us into the type of, you know, human being that is good for society, right? And so I'm so grateful that my parents, you know, put those you know, like when you go bowling and when you're young, they
those roadblocks, those boundaries.
Listen,
I've always used this mantra: life has no dress rehearsals, and it's a series of decisions. And sometimes those decisions yield positive fruits, and other times they yield negative conditions that affect you. And so if you have regret, you know, it's interesting you use boundaries or those borders that would come up for, like, when kids would play when they would go bowling, and it would prevent their balls from going into the gutter. It controlled the outcome. You know, at some point, we are accountable and responsible for the decisions in which we make. But if we overburden ourselves with regret, then it's a form of digression. It's almost like driving with your foot in the gas and your foot in the brake at the same time. You're going to spin your wheels and you're not going to go nowhere. At some point, you have to let go and you have to appreciate the decisions in which you've made. And at some point, you have to learn from them and say, you know what? I could have done that. I know for me, many times it's been verbal. I said, you know, I could have handled that differently. You know, I wish I didn't allow my emotions to get in the way. I wish I could have been a little more in control of the tongue, that little mechanism in our mouth that moves around, it wags. If you can control what you say and at some point take responsibility. I told you many times I've been in a situation where I've done marriage counseling. And I always come back to one simple truth in the marriage counseling compositional process. I know you're mad at Mary, or Mary, I know you're mad at Tom. But can I ask you, Tom, what did you do to Mary that brought you here today? What do you take responsibility for doing? It's very easy to point your finger and say what somebody else did. That's easy. But for you to say, you know what, I could have done things differently without regret. You know what? Man, I could have been a better listener to my partner. You know what? You know, my buddies would come and I was so caught up in my sports and I was so caught up with my job. Come home, all I was interested in, well, honey, what did you cook? You were home all day. That's what my dad used to do. You don't do nothing all day. I work all day. I don't want to come home to the television being warm. What do you have for me to eat? And I used to look at him and say to myself, oh, my God, my mom's was a queen. She was beautiful. My mother had hazel green eyes, platinum blonde hair, born not Clairol. She was native. And I just thought my mother was like, I dream a genie. I love Barbara Eden. She reminded me of Barbara Eden. My mother was beautiful. And I would say to myself, why does my dad talk to my mother like that? And I've made it a point in my life not to be like him. And that, now, he was an educator. He was a brilliant man. But that was a deficit. That was an imperfection that he had. And I strove in my life to be very complimentary. If it's real.
Yes. You know, the word imperfection, there's something that came from the listeners, and it says imperfections that we recognize are more valuable to us than our perfections.
Nice.
So, it's like you recognize that you got a problem. That is so valuable because you can.
And see, you can't fix a problem. You know, I've seen guys, you know, it's the funniest thing, alongside the road, and they're not mechanics, and they're not mechanically inclined. And so they're driving along the road, and all of a sudden, clunk, 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 the car stops. They open up the hood, and they all do the same thing. It's hilarious. They put their hands on their hips as if the car is going to spit out, hey, this is the problem. So my guy says, well, the car's not running. I think it's the battery. No, because once your car starts, it no longer is using the power of the battery. That's why it goes to what's called an alternator. It alternates the current from the battery that starts it. And now once a car starts, you can remove the battery. So I said, so it's not your battery. Well, how did you know that? Because I'm mechanically inclined. And so I'm looking for the problem because I can't fix the problem. If I'm going to run to AutoZone because my car is on the side of the road and I get somebody to take me to AutoZone and bring back a battery, I did not resolve. That's not the problem. Did you run out of gas? You know, is your needle functioning? Do you have gas? Did you open up the carburetor? Do you see when you push the accelerator from inside the hood, is there gas going in the chamber? If it's that type of vehicle, some cars now are different because they have fuel injection. But there's, in other words, what I'm trying to get at through my analogies are, you have to figure out what the problem is before you can fix it. So kudos to the audience that talked about being able to look at what the imperfection is, because you cannot begin to rectify the problem until you know what the problem is. Like the poor guy that thought it was his battery, he ran to AutoZone, got another battery. He's still on the side of the road, can't start his car. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He ran out of gas. The hose that connected his fuel pump to his system is disconnected. He didn't figure out what the problem is, so you're not going nowhere.
So let me exactly. And that's I love that. I like how you broke that down. Let me ask you, have you dwelled on any regrets, and how did, and if you did, how did you get past the regrets?
Well, you know, through my spiritual journeys, I've come across a phrase of disquieting thoughts, and they're usually associated. We all reach a point at some point of time where we get in our bed, we pull those big comforters over up to our neck, we close our eyes, and we're left with our disquieting thoughts. We're left with the thoughts of the day as we close our eyelids and we reflect upon what we did that day.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and if we allow ourselves to drown in our imperfections and drown in regrets, that's the time where we can be in a meditative mode, time when you can have a conversation with yourself. I'm not suggesting you talk back to yourself, but you can ask yourself in those disquieting moments, what did you do today? You know what? You could have been more productive. Maybe you could have done this. Maybe you could have. That's productive. But if you start regretting everything you've done, you're like the proverbial guy who's got his foot on the gas and the brake simultaneously, and he's spinning his wheels in the mud. You're not going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
That's the time to fix it. Meditationally, when you're in your bed at night, no distraction, no radio, no television, no conversation, no social media. You're not on your phone. Hopefully you take your phone out of your room and just allow those disquieting thoughts. That's a time to meditate and fix what's broken in you. That's where you start. Not regret. Yeah.
So I had a situation when I thought about this topic, and I remember as a young man, there was a girl. Of course,
it's
always some kind of relationship thing going on that we have regrets in, right?
Yeah.
So just for those that are on the same page as me, because, you know, Phoenix, he's high tech, right? So I'm breaking down to elementary, junior high school. And so, no, but this girl was in high school, actually. And I remember, like, she was so beautiful. And I had the opportunity to make her my girl and have her travel with me and do things with me and marry her. But I didn't do it because I was so caught up in what I was doing that I didn't think about how to, you know, to manage that, you know, to make that happen. I was just caught up in my career and just running around. Just, okay, I'm going to do this, go to do this, this. And I was focusing on, you know, getting to California and doing what I was going to do. And then when I was there, I was so focused on doing that, but I was thinking about her. But I never, before, when I finally got around to it, she was with somebody else and got pregnant. And I remember going, man, and I felt so like, you know, I wanted her to be my girl. I wanted her to be with me, and that could have been my baby and all that stuff. But, and it was I regretted the fact that I did not do what I needed to do to capture her. But then, as you
that
get,
that was going to be my next question. What did
go
you
ahead,
learn?
Go ahead.
What's your question? In other words, okay, you went through a situation, you saw someone that was very attractive to you, you forecasted ahead, and you saw a life with this person. It was a misstepped opportunity, get that, we all do that. But what's your takeaway? What did you learn from that scenario?
At the end of the day, she wasn't meant to be with me. And I had a hard time with it. Like maybe for the first 3 years or so until I found somebody else. And then it was just off my mind. And I started thinking about it like, wait a minute, I was all in the mud about, I was dragging myself in the mud about the situation that, you know, I was so sad that I lost the opportunity to be with her. But as soon as I found someone else that treated me so good and I enjoyed being with them, it went away so quickly. And I'm like, why did I drag myself through that? I was so in the mud for so long, and it wasn't even necessary, because as I grew and I got older and wiser, I realized that everything that you want is not necessarily good for you. It may be good to you, but
That's
it
true.
Might not be good for you. And so And, you know, like drugs, some people it's good to them to get high, but it's not good for them. Alcohol, smoking cigarettes, all that kind of stuff. It's just some of it. Some people can handle drinking and some people can't. And so you got to find out where you fit in the mix, right? And so I as I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, cool. I maybe it wasn't meant to be. And then this is the killer. This is the killer for me. She's gone. She passed away already. And I'm like, wow. You know, and so I started thinking, maybe if I was with her, I could have helped her so she wouldn't have got sick. And then this is just recent thinking, because when I remember, you know, it was not like I was mature. I was in love with the Lord, and I knew, you know, that God is in control. But yet my thinking as a man still pulled me into, man, maybe if I was, you know, this was only a couple of years ago when she passed away, and she was hiding it from everyone that she had breast cancer. And so we didn't know she was sick. She just died. And it was like, what? And so I felt like I let her down. Like maybe I should have been with her.
Well,
and I could have.
To me, there's two methodologies to that. I mean, I've heard that equation so many times where people will say, well, the person wasn't meant for me. And I don't think that I necessarily agree with that, honestly. I do realize that the Creator does play an awesome role in our directions. But I do know, as a spiritual man on the other side of that equation, that He's created us as free moral agents. And I know there's many animal lovers out there. They love their animals perhaps sometimes more than they do human beings, which is a whole nother discussion maybe one day we could talk about. But the Creator created us in His image, according to His word, and we're free moral agents. And He does not impose things on us unless it's something that we choose. And so I'm saying that to say that I've come across conversations like these in the past where I've had to take a stand and say, you know, I don't particularly agree with that in terms of, you know what, it wasn't meant to be. Sometimes it's just a misstep. You know, we are all accountable for our actions, I believe personally. And I believe that we all participate on the stage of life, and we either engage or disengage. Life sometimes, I like to use cars because that's something that a lot of people can relate to. You can have a Ferrari with a Ferrari engine. There's no transmission. You're not going anywhere. And life is similar to that in the sense where we become the transmission to engage or to disengage. When we engage, we move forward. When we disengage, sometimes we just stay where we're at, or we might go in reverse, depending upon our position. Okay? And so, yes, I do believe God exerts a lot of power in our lives, but He's so loving that He's created us as free moral agents. You know, it's very easy for those who are spiritually inclined for the Creator just to scream from heaven to get on our knees, bow down, and worship Him. I think most people would immediately. I mean, there would be worldwide direction suddenly, but He doesn't do that. He gives us the ability, like a father, He gives a child the opportunity to walk, and He keeps His hands out so the child doesn't hurt themselves. But He lets that child bump and fall on his little padded butt with his pamper, get back up. And the father helps to steer that child in a direction, hopefully, that's going to be profitable for the child. But at some point, the father has to let go. You know, when the child gets old enough and the child is riding a bike, at some point he has to let go of the bike, even if the child hits the tree or makes a false step. So the point of the matter is, the father allows the child a little leeway to bump and bruise. It's healthy. And I think the Creator allows us to do that. It's not so much that He's preordained this person for us. He says, you're a free moral agent. I've given you a brain. I've created you in my image. Now you go forth and make an intelligent decision based on the things that I've shown you, as you and I have acquiesced and talked about our parents. you know, we're still living examples of the foundation that our parents has given us. God just does it in a much more superlative way. So that's just my personal feeling on the matter. It could have been a misstep. It could have been the greatest situation for you. But life is a series of decisions, and you decided not to engage. And based upon that, it changed your trajectory. We can't blame God. We can't blame ourselves, which is really what we're talking about, regret. We have to take an accountability for the decision we made. And from what I know about you, my good buddy, you seem to have fared well. I mean, you've got so much love in your heart, brother. I mean, anywhere you go, you're contagious. You're like a COVID love bug. Everywhere you go, people get infected with your love. That's a beautiful thing, man. So you're always going to find yourself, because that's who you are. You're always going to find yourself in a landscape of love. Even when I've heard people do things to you recently, you've sort of suggested, but you found a way still to love them. You made your decision, but you still found a way not to be intrusive in their lives, not to be a destructive person because things didn't go your way. You made your decision, and you stood by your decision. That's a great example for us, don't you think? Did I lose you?
Okay, one second. Okay, Phoenix, can you hear me now?
Sure, I hear
you. Can you hear me, Phoenix? Okay, great.
Yes,
I hear you. All right, so we just had one of those sharp power outages. It's just boom, and everything went out, but I had my computer on backup power, so we don't lose the show. So, but I did lose my microphone, so I had to switch to another mic. So, but yes, I heard everything you said, and I agree with you, and I thank you. I appreciate, you know, the compliment that you made about, you know, the love thing. I wanted to just also say something in regards to animals, and sometimes people love animals more than they love even people, which is, you know, another topic for another day. But still, I just wanted to tell you that when I heard you say that, I was thinking about that I just love life, whether it's life of a human or life of an animal. I don't like to take anybody's life. I think it's too, we need to value life and not, you know, but you know, people grow up differently. Like, I grew up in the city, so now I live in the country, and people make a living off of, you know, taking the life of animals. And I happen to be someone in the middle of all that completely disagree with them, but I don't condemn them for it. I just love on the animals.
We're all accountable for our actions. And the reason I brought that up is sometimes as a gauge, I agree, yes, life is precious. And no matter what you think you've done, I know the first time that my oldest daughter, who now is 36, she's a teacher in New York, and I was there at the birthing process. The first thing that I did when I had the opportunity, I went up to state New York, and my mother, who's a little thing, I hugged and I kissed her, because I saw the pain, the transition that a woman goes through, that I know most men, I don't care how tough they think they are, we could never endure the pain that a woman goes through the childbirthing process. But
yeah,
I also recognize that I might have participated, which I did, in the procreation of my daughter, but I didn't know what I was having until the doctor told me what we had. And it was a humbling thought. It actually self-propelled me more so in a spiritual connection, because it made me realize that as powerful as I thought I was as a young man, I was 22 years old with a bullet, that I was not as powerful as I thought I was, because I didn't know what I was having. I had to ask the doctor, what is it? It's a girl. Okay. And it made me appreciate my relationship with the Creator more so, because I realized that, guess what? You don't know everything. It ain't all about you. I didn't put in an order for how long her eyelashes would be, or her complexion, or if she was going to have 10 fingers and toes. I didn't, whatever I was having, I had to love it. And it it humbled me, and it made me rush upstate New York to hug my mom because I made a huge advancement, as far as I was concerned, in the human endeavor as a man. I was like, wow, this is so humbling.
Yeah.
See, that was my
thing. Well, yeah. Yeah. And so I want to go also, I wanted to reach back to something else, but I should do this first. From the listeners, just to be respectful, don't let regret take residence. Sit with the pain for a while, but then set it free. So, you know, and that's basically what I needed to learn as well, you know, in my situation with the young lady. And so when I said, you know, some things are just not meant to be, you know, it just wasn't meant to be, it was because I wasn't ready. It wasn't not just a theory of some things. The reason why it wasn't meant to be is because I didn't do my part to make it happen. If I would have did what I was supposed to do, then it would have been. But at that point, I didn't do that because it was something else that was more important to me at the time, and that was chasing my career. And so you can't, you know that terrible thing, can't have your cake and eat it too. I don't understand what the purpose of having a cake if you can't eat it. But anyway, they say you can't have your cake and eat it and eat it too. So it's like,
well, the thing is, you know, if you're a cake person, listen, if you're a cake person, you love the cake. Come on. I don't know how many times I've gone to the restaurant and I'm driving. And it's a nice bag of Italian food and the seasoned steak fries. And I'm trying to keep my eye on the road, but I can't deal with that smell. So I open the bag up, my hand is all in it, and I know I have no business. I mean, it's all over the car, you know, and I'm a real neat freak, so that's like a no-no. But I can't help it. I got to delve into that bag. I got to do what a brother's got to do because I'm starving like Marvin, man. And so that whole cake and eat it too thing, I wanted to leave everything as it was and wait till I got home, but I want it now. But when I get home, it's like, I'm not hungry. How come? Because I ate already on my way home.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness.
Well, man, so, you know, I just think that, you know, one of the most important things that I wanted to share with anyone that may be regretting, you know, anything, you know, first of all, there's nothing we can do about it. It is gone. It's like crying over spilt milk. You know, we can't change what's already happened, but we can perfect, you know, where we're going now. And if you pay all your time looking in the rearview mirror, you're never going to get to where you're supposed to be going. You know, you're going to end up crashing and burning again because you're not focusing on where you need to be going. So we need to just let go and let God, as I would say, but just let go and move forward because you can't change something that's already happened, you know. And that's it's not worth, you know, I mean, we'll beat ourselves up sometimes because we can't have what we wish we could have had. Well, but we didn't get it. It's gone. Now let's move forward and be okay with that. Be okay with it. And as a Christian, I know that God's got me, so I'm going to be okay anyway. And if you are a Christian, then you got the same situation as me. He's got you, and it's going to be okay anyway. Sometimes we feel bad about a person that we brought into our lives and introduced them to our children. A lot of times women will bring a man in, and then, you know, the kids get hooked on him, and then the woman don't like him anymore, and she gets rid of him, and the kids are all upset, and it's like, wait a minute. You know, now it's hard for her to let him go because the kids are attached to it. You know, but that one right there, that's a terrible dynamic. So that's why we have to be cautious as we bring people into our lives because it's not just our life, it's our children's lives as well, you know. And so I always,
absolutely.
When I was when I was single and started raising my children, I did not have anybody. I waited until they were all finished. And, you know, periodically I would go out to the movies with somebody, but I wouldn't make my children date my dates, right? And so, and I went out.
Smart
I made
move.
Sure I did everything. Yeah, they all were grown and, I mean, got all, you know, finished school and you know, and the situation fixed itself. Their mom had a place and they ended up going and being with her, you know, too. And then I was able to start dating because everything is good. But so you have to be careful when you mess with young minds like that and you make a decision to bring somebody in. It's nice to have somebody there to help you along, but at the same time, you got to think about the consequences if it doesn't go so well. And you have children involved because now you're messing with their minds and their hearts as well. So, but anyway.
Well, those are all thought-provoking concepts, good patterns to follow, particularly as men. And I'm not getting down on our dear brothers around the world, but sometimes we don't lead by our mental capacities all the time. Sometimes we're led by our passions or our sexual drives, etc. And we're guilty of that. But it's nice to hear that you said you don't bring your kids, you don't involve them in your dates until the proper time. That's a good example for us men, because we need those examples. You know, I think one of the things that's almost a lost word in society for men is mentorship. You know, years ago used to be the Boys Club of America or the, you know, the Boy Scouts. We had mentorship programs. Teachers were involved when life was a little more simpler. It's a little more difficult now for teachers because now we're living in a litigious world where parents are not the parents like our parents were. I remember if my teacher said that I did something, that was it. The teacher had the final word. If the teacher said I did something, man, I got punished before they even heard my side. But today,
time
is different. You know, parents today, their children are gods, and whatever they say, the teacher's wrong, and the kids, unfortunately, have used that to manipulate the parents and the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So mentorship, which is the focus of my expressions at this point, is a difficult animal to fulfill today. And even within this radio show, I have a lot of my personal friends. They'll call me, what time is the radio show? Oh, yeah, okay, I want to tune in. Because, you know, intelligent dialogue like this, real dialogue, is creative real estate today, man. We're at a deficit with this. And that's why I take this very seriously. I really try to think out what I say because I realize that, you know, we're speaking to a commercial audience, and I hope and I pray that some of the things that we say that are positive leads someone somewhere to a positive conclusion that'll help them, because then it's all worthwhile, you know.
Yes.
It's all worthwhile.
Absolutely. Well, man, I'm really blessed by the conversation, and I thank you so much for, you know, just, you know, coming on and breaking it down and just sharing your thoughts.
It's a great topic, bro. I mean, regrets are something that we all do. I don't care what background you come from, what social standing, what economic standing, what cultural standing, what religious, non-religious standing. We all have regrets, and I talked about them in our disquieting moments. You know, at some point, you have to deal with you. You know, there's no escaping you. You can lose yourself around your friends, and you can act like the world is your oyster. You can do whatever, but at some point, when everyone goes away from you and you're home by yourself or you're lying in bed, your significant other is snoring and sleeping, you have to deal with you. And that's where the progress But that's where, to me, the benefit begins. Can you deal with you? I remember when I was younger, someone told me, they said, you know, it's nice, young man, that you have a lot of friends. But do you like yourself? Do you spend time alone with yourself to find out who you are? And I thought that, I mean, I remember being flabbergasted by that because I was a social magnet. I was around a lot of people. I was into music and, you know, long hair, earrings, you know, I was a cool cat. But the older person was saying, hey, don't get lost up in that. Who are you? And do you even like you? And that helped me to develop myself on a different trajectory. It really did.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much.
I had one other situation.
No.
I was in Jersey, real quick, and there was an old Italian gentleman that was sitting on a stoop, like a milk container. And I was goofing around with some of my buddies. I was restoring an old car. I had a 1938 Chevy, and I was at the gas station. A good friend of mine owned his own gas station. I was rebuilding it. And we were just cracking up and just doing what young people do. We was just acting a fool. And the old man waited patiently. And when my friends walked away, he walked up to me. And he said, young man, don't waste your time. He said, the time that you spent with your buddies, you'll never get. He says, so don't waste your time. And he walked away. And he, too, left me flabbergasted. I was stunned. I was like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Today, I believe it was the Creator. And he helped me understand, don't waste your time. You know, you can goof around and have fun and laugh, skip rope, and tell jokes. But, son, he said, your time is precious. Don't waste your time. And he just walked right out of my life. He walked in my life and walked right out of my life just that fast. I'm still, that was over almost 40 years ago. I still think of him. Like, who is that guy?
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's never too late to be what you, never too late to be what you might have been. You can't miss the boats because there are boats leaving all the time.
Wow.
It is never too late.
Sat at port. Yeah, if you've ever sat at port, sitting on the dock of the bay, that has a lot of validity to it. Yeah. And don't let your life pass away. You know, don't let your life pass away. Be proactive. You know, be a good listener, but be a good doer. Like they say, the scripture says, be a doer of the word. Not just anybody can throw a hallmark expression out. That's nice. But are you a doer of the word? Are you a practicer of practical things?
Yes.
It's important.
You'll never have time for regrets if you're always moving forward from the listeners. They are really listening.
Yeah,
you got to stay looking forward. You got to keep going forward. And because, like I said, if you get caught up in the rearview mirror, you're going to end up crashing. You got to pay attention and follow your dream. What you're supposed to do. And
it's all in balance. I mean, I love that expression, rearview mirror. I wrote a song called Rearview Mirror. And yes. Anything too much of anything could be destructive. But if you think that little center mirror in between your windshield is there for no reason, you're sadly mistaken. When you make a lane change, you look to the left, the right, you check your rearview mirror, you keep moving forward. But like you said, but if you're constantly looking at your rearview mirror and you forget about your side mirrors and you forget about looking through your windshield at the lights, you're heading for the danger zone quickly.
Absolutely.
So they all work in tandem, in balance. They all work in tandem.
Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing, never mind, I'm not even going to go there because I'll get in trouble with the ladies if I talk about them putting makeup on at the stoplight, right? I'm going to get in trouble with you ladies, right?
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble, bro.
Stoplight. Shut up. bad. But anyway, guys, thank you so much. And thanks to Phoenix again for always blessing us. I mean, what a good brother. Thank you, man. You have been blessed with a gift, and we thank you for sharing your gifts here with us every week here on Solar Records Radio. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, guys. So we're gonna keep this show on the road. We got a little bit more time left, and then we are done. But Phoenix, thank you, man, and have a blessed rest of your week. I look forward to talking to you on Thursday. Okay, man, and so we'll talk soon. God bless, and guys,
Appreciate
we'll be back. All right.
Absolutely.
See you later, man. Peace.
All right.
Out.
See you later.
Yeah.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. Baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. And I'm thinking about touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall in love with you every single day, and I just wanna tell you I am. So honey, now take me into your loving arms. Kiss me under the light of a your head on my beating heart. I'm thinking out loud, maybe we found love right where we are. When my hair's all but gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name, when my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow old, it's evergreen. Baby, your smile forever.
something like this, man. Thanks, y'all.
Chucky Booker. I tell you guys, we are, I just love doing this. I love the music. I love the conversation. And I love the people that listen, the participants. And I love Greg and Astrid for blessing us here on Solar Records Radio. And Don Fleming doing his thing. Phoenix, obviously. And all the other people that come on and bless us. We're so, so, so lucky, and I'm so grateful. I hope that you guys are doing good, and you're good and blessed. And we're right now, we're just going to mix it up for this next hour and, 53 minutes we have left. And so you'll hear a combination of all the music that we play here on Solar Records Radio. I know, Greg, you sent me a song, but I was not able to get it converted. I'm sorry, Greg. Good gracious. Don't mean to let my brother down, but I could not get it converted. And, you know, there's a song called No Regrets. Doom, 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 doom. Though you found someone new. Oh, doom, doom, doom. Anybody know that song? Who did that song? I know I don't sound good, but. I just love that song, and I'm trying to find it. And everyone that I mentioned to, they go, no, I never heard that. I'm like, good gracious. And it was a real popular song on the radio here in the States back in, I think, the 80s. But if you guys happen to know what it is, please just send it to me through Messenger, and then I can you know, find it and get it taken care of. Greg, don't say anything. Don't think. He's so mean. I was begging him not to say anything. Oh, man. He said, I sound awful. You guys, you know, let me tell you, what are we going to do with this brother? He's going to do with him. Here you go, Greg. This is for you, brother.
Baby, get down. sometimes wonder why all the flowers have to die. I dream about you and I. Summer's come and gone, and the nights they seem so long. Come on over tonight. Come on over. It's gonna be a cool night. Just let me hold you by the firelight. If it don't feel right, you can go.
Things had changed, 'cause we attention. Can we give it a try?
Classic Mtume. Of course, we're mixing it up on a Tuesday. I'm so late to the party, man. I'm so sorry, Wardell.
No, man, please. It's all good. we're just doing this, you know, as it go. We're having a good time. I had a really good conversation with Phoenix, and thanks to Greg for helping us out with the topic again this week. And we had a really good conversation in regards to No Regrets. And so it was great. And then, you know.
No regrets. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
Have you ever anything you ever regretted? You feel, you know, but you're okay now? Was there anything that you regretted? And how did you get to the other side of
it? Man, that's a good question. I think many aspects of my life, I can go back and write a book about this. No, seriously. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you have these moments, I'm happy to be where I am. And on that note, I have no regrets, because you never want to be in that situation where you're like, what if? I'm 47 years old. I don't want to, you know, you don't want to be 60 years old and just like, you know what? What if I did this or did this? You know, I try not to pigeonhole who I am and who I've become, you know, based on the circumstances and the things that I've been through. I try not to, because that's what molded me to be who I am today. So I have no regrets in that incentive. But, you know, if there's little, like, anecdotes of my life as far as, man, I should have did this. I should have ate that pizza back in when we had that pizza party and I didn't eat, it's kind of like that. But, you know, if you want to get, you know, as far as a deep philosophical viewpoint, I have none. I really don't. I'm glad to be where I am. You know, it's one of those things, even like, you know, when I lived in California, it was like, when I came back here, I was able to finish college because I didn't, you know, I didn't know what my life would have led, you know, out there. Could I have finished college out there? You don't know. So, you know, it's always that what if from that standpoint, but I try not to kind of just dwell on it because, again, the circumstances of the past molded me to the person that I am today. So I'm forever grateful for that. So, but to answer your question, not really.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had to sneeze again.
Oh. and you know what? You know what? My computer crashed.
Oh, wow.
My computer crashed. So, you sneeze and my computer crashed. What the hey?
Hey,
what the hey, man?
It's a new variant of COVID. Sorry. It travels through the microphones. But listen, that's, you know what? I shouldn't joke about that because we have people really sick, so I apologize. That's good to hear, man. I'm glad that you broke that down so good. I want to Greg said he has no regrets in his life. He has no regrets.
No.
And
I was just saying, no, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just saying that, you know, all of these things, all of these circumstances of the past and you know, have molded you. Like, for example, you know, I know, and I'm not trying to speak for you, but I would just think, you know, a person like the great Wardell Potts Jr., it's like, what if I did finish at Norfolk State? Or what if I did not take that request or take up that favor from Tony Westcott or whatever and come out to California? You know, but again, those things, those circumstances, those things, or what if you stayed home and worked at your dad's hardware store or gas stations or whatever? You know, it's those things that all of the circumstances made you are who you are today, mm-hmm. you know, and there shouldn't, you know, and again, I'm not speaking for you, but I was just saying you would think that someone like the great Wardell Potts Jr. wouldn't have any regrets over that, you know?
Well, you know, you know my history by heart. What you
tell it to me every day, man.
I listen to you say my childhood friends' names and stuff. Wow. But yeah, I think Greg said only regret the things you don't do or you didn't do. So, you know, like if there's things you did, and I think before that he said, don't regret the things you did. Regret the things you didn't do. So that's what I
do. That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, Greg thinks he's deep. And so, you know, he can't sing.
It's like,
he can't sing. So,
what if I did get with that young lady when I lived in California? What if I did get with her? You know, things like that. But no. Seriously, I don't. And again, to be the person you are is whatever the tragedies, the triumphs, trials and tribulations of your life of the past has molded you to be the person, the good person that you are today. There should be no regrets.
Amen.
You know, if you feel like you are in a better level of sanity, as far as your scope of vision, as far as what you've done in the past or what you've done in the past makes you, okay, if you carjacked somebody when you was 15, you know, that judge that gave you some leniency or whatever, you know, it's things like that. And again, I'm not, this isn't my life. I was just using it as an example. But, you know, it's all of these things that, you know, if it wasn't for Mrs. So-and-so from the seventh grade, you know, I wouldn't be a teacher. I wouldn't end up being a teacher or teaching history or, you know, it's those little anecdotes that help to mold you. But from a holistic viewpoint, you know, when you on a macro level, then, you know, I have no regrets from,
Amen.
You know.
Well,
I'm sorry. Did I talk too much?
No, this is a talk show. we can talk on a talk show.
But you know what, man? How many minutes we got left of the show?
32.
Oh, 32 minutes. Cool, cool. My computer is rebooting right now, so I am definitely I'm enjoying today's show. I'm enjoying the conversation. And to check out the conversation earlier, I'm going to check out the playback. So
okay, well, you know, I got to tell you that you're not the only one. My computer went down twice. I mean, but it was just the computer. It was like we had a power surge twice in the first half of my show. And so I had this power pack that I have for my computers so that, you know, they don't go down. And so it kept the show going. But my microphone that's connected to the regular power went out. And so so that actually wasn't the microphone that's connected to the regular power. It's the my Focusrite that plugs in to my computer lost power. And so that means my microphone lost power. So, but it's all good. No worry about it. No worries, man. We're just going to be blessed and still have a good time here. And life does what it does. And we have no regrets. We have to keep moving.
Well, check it out. Since we're mixing it up today, because, of course, in the second hour I have an easy listening block that I wanted to. I have an easy listening block, if it's okay. I'm going to play three songs. And it goes back into the late 70s, early 80s, that easy listening soft rock. So I want to take you guys, let's go ahead and start it off. I want to take you guys back to the year 1978. See if you guys remember this one. This is music from Dr. Hook. Yes, I remember these. It's called Sharing the Night Together. Keep it locked right here.
Girl, would you like someone new to talk to? Oh yeah, alright. I'm feeling kinda lonely too, if you don't mind. Can I sit down here beside you? Oh yeah, alright. If I seem to come on too strong, I hope that you will understand. I say these things cause I'd like to know if you're as lonely as I am, and if you'd mind sharing the night together. Oh, yeah, sharing the night together. Oh, yeah, sharing the night. We could bring in the morning, girl, if you wanna go that far. And if tomorrow finds us together right here, the way we are, would you mind sharing the night together? Ooh, yeah, sharing the night together. Ooh, yeah, sharing the night. Would you like to dance with me and hold me? You know I wanna be holding you. Oh yeah, alright. Cause I like feeling like I do. And I see in your eyes that you're liking it, I'm liking it too. Oh yeah, alright. Like to get to know you better. Is there a place where we can go, where we can be alone together? Turn the light down low and start sharing the night together. Yeah, sharing the night together.
Night.
Up today on Solar Records Radio, Don Fleming, Wardell Potts. Of course, shout out to Phoenix, man. We got about another 17 minutes left of the show. That was my easy listening block, Wardell. What did you think about that?
I thought it was absolutely amazing. I was in another part of the house, and then I heard it. And I was
you
like,
always
whoa.
Leave When I'm trying to jam, you always leave.
I do, because I get to get out of this seat. And that's the way it goes, right, Julian? Right, Julian?
That's right.
I get to stand up and move around, and when Don gets there and start doing his thing. I love that song. Oh, man. I got to do a recap.
That was what I just played. That was from 1980. That was music from Ambrosia, The Biggest Part of Me. And, of course, before that, I had to hook up from 1979, Christopher Cross, Ride Like the Wind. I grew up on that music. And of course, started off the block from 1978, music from Dr. Hook, Sharing the Night Together. So I just wanted to give it like a little easy listening, soft rock vibe, that whole block. So, and Julie, what you think of that?
I really enjoyed it. And I actually was surprised when you played that, because I was a fan of Dr. Hook's as well. When you said Dr. Hook, yes, I first thought you were going to play Sexy Eyes, and you surprised me when you played this one. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that one. So it was really, I really enjoyed listening to that. It was a surprise.
Well, hey, I do it for y'all.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yes, great.
Well,
hey,
take us back.
No, definitely. Wardell, go ahead. I'm sorry. You got the floor.
Yeah. No. I wasn't saying anything. I'm just enjoying it. Go, and I'm glad Julian called in, because you know it's nice to have, you know, you guys make me think about those back in the day times when I used to sit down with Grandma and she said, "Retch on around there, boy," and "Retch on around there," and grab me that thing. I'm like, "Retch on around? What do you mean?" You know, y'all remember those days the grandparents used to talk to you like, remember grandparents used to be really big? Now all of a sudden they thinner than the mothers now. I'm like, what's going on? Why is grandma looking pretty hot going out? Grandma and the daughters are in competition all of a sudden. It's so funny. And then, or the daughter-in-law, how about that one? They are. But, you know, we were also talking off the air about donuts. And we were talking about those. I'm eating white powdered donuts. And Julian likes glazed donuts. See, and what was the
other
one?
And cinnamon donuts.
And I never had a cinnamon donut. Don, you had cinnamon donuts?
Oh, you
had,
yeah.
I've had cinnamon donuts before. Yeah, I've had them before. Y'all making me hungry. But you know what? I'm going to do a shameless plug. I've been addicted to, I don't know if you guys have a Walmart near you, but there are over in the deli department where they have all of the blueberry muffins and things like that. They have chocolate chip muffins, and I've been buying those in droves.
Oh.
You know, for breakfast, I would warm them up for about 20 to 25 seconds. And take them out, and you're in heaven. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. No plug to Walmart, but they are good.
Turn your music back on. Wow. So, listen, we got 14 minutes left in the show, and we have Don Fleming and Julian hanging out with us here on Solar Records Radio as we mix it up. And tomorrow is Indie Jazz Day. You guys got to tune in at 3 p.m. where we're going to have a great time. And it's like hump day, right? So, right, and for me, it's a great show for me because I've made it a situation where I have, like, some really nice food. Right, I make some really nice food, really healthy food, and then I have really good music, like within the jazz or the indie artist stuff, and then really good company with you guys. And so it's so much fun for me to do the Indie Jazz Day. I look forward to it. I'm always trying to think of what type of Asian food am I going to have? Because that's what I love Thai food. I love Japanese food. I love Chinese food. So I'm always thinking of some type of food. And I like pho. Do you guys know what pho is? P-H-O?
No.
I've seen it before. Is it like a soup?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never had it, though.
Oh my goodness! It's so you got to try it one day. It's so good, and it's Vietnamese.
I've had miso soup.
No. You got to go. It is Vietnamese, and it's really good. And just try it. You see one of those stores, it's PHO. That's what, go try it out. This soup is wonderful, and there's lots of vegetables in there. And so you really enjoy it. And especially this, the way that the weather is here in the United States right now is a little on the cold side, so it's so good. Mm. That. Yeah, so go in and try it out. Yeah.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah.
You're making me hungry.
That's easy for him.
Oh!
He lives. He's always in the kitchen. He said, either he's about to go cook or he just finished cooking. It's always funny.
Or I'm barbecuing. We got about 11 minutes left of the show. Again, we are just having a great time. Of course, want to remind you guys, like Wardell said, just want to give you another quick reminder. Tomorrow it is Indie Jazz Wednesday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I'm going to go ahead and do a day ahead. I know we're putting the cart before the horse, but I'm just saying this Thursday, of course, you have Throwback Thursday. You have, of course, the Afternoon Drive with Wardell from 3 to 5, and then you have the nightcap with yours truly from 8 to 10 p.m., so you never know who's going to call in. You never know who's going to come and bless the phone lines and hang out with us, and so make sure you guys tune in 3 to 5 p.m. and then 8 to 10 p.m. on this Thursday on Solar Records Radio, so make sure you guys tune in. And thank you so much for supporting the show, and thank you, Julia, for supporting the show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. My pleasure.
Julian is very special. She's always there. And she listens differently. Most people listen online. She listens through her cell phone. And it's like, she gets the notifications and everything. It's just like, whoa, how does she know all this stuff? And she'll call in, oh, yeah, that's my song. And it's Craig. Uh-huh. Yeah. So thank you. I appreciate you very much. And we know other people listen to on their cell phones too, but it's just that I don't really talk to most people that listen to the show on their cell phones. Most people that I do talk to are on their computers listening and stuff. So, but thank you. I think what Julian is basically saying to us, Don, is that we need to get an app. We need to get an app for the show that people could just download it in their cell phones, and then they just click on the app and they enter the show right away.
I'm down for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they can, they can donate to the show if they want, or they can buy, stuff from out of our store, buy different hats or whatever. And just, this stuff is good because Solar won't be around forever. So, get it while they get
it. Don't say that.
Well, I'm just saying, in terms of this, show, we will.
Get them. Get them.
Okay. Well, then Julian will take over when Don and I retire. She'll take over. But
okay.
I'm just saying, it's just nice to get stuff while it's going and stuff. So if you want to get hats or shirts or anything like that, get it so that years later you can look back and say, oh, you remember when this was happening and Julian called in and was getting on everybody's nerves? You remember?
Yeah.
And Julian's going, yeah.
Oh, stop.
And it's cold. You can get your hoodies.
You can get your hoodies, yeah. Julian, I'm sorry. I just finished beating up on you and you didn't even catch it. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was just trying to beat
That's okay.
I was trying to beat you up. Anyway, Don Fleming, are you going to close this out or am I closing this out?
You can close it out, but I want to say this. I think, and again, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but I know in 2022, Solar Records Radio is going on this different plateau. We're in the works and the talks of doing some things, and I can't wait to announce it if everything kind of comes together like it. I hope it should.
Yes,
so
awesome.
I'll just say this, be on the lookout, and of course more interviews, more celebrities, more artists, more comedians. So I'm hoping to get especially a lot of them lined up on the show, both of our shows, especially my show. But definitely.
And more Julian.
And more Julian. There you go.
Right.
So keep on, be on the lookout for that. Of course, in 2022, we're going to do some big things, and I'm so excited.
All right, guys. Well, Greg, thanks, my brother, for everything. Thanks for the amazing flyers, and thanks for being a blessing to us. He's all the way over in the UK, and he's like always.
Thank you, Greg.
And thank you for blessing us today. And we want to thank Julian for calling in. Thank you, sweetheart, for being a blessing to us. And and Julian, she has the hats, the shirts. She got the sweatshirt. I got mm-hmm. pictures of her.
Sweatshirt, T-shirt.
Yeah, she don't play.
Nice.
Did you ever get a cup, Julian? Did you ever get a cup? Julian?
I did get a cup. I do have a cup. Mm-hmm.
She has a cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, boy, she's got it going on. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much for supporting us and loving on Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you. And Don Fleming, my brother, my big little brother. He's my big little brother.
Little brother.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, anyway, so we hope you enjoyed the show. You have a blessed rest of your evening. And thanks again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. We're up and out of here. We'll catch you next time. All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Be good, everybody.
Tell me, are you here alone?
Down and tell me something.
Thank you, God. Thank you for blessing us and keeping us. Thank you for being the best guide there is. We love you and appreciate you. Amen, amen. Everyone, take care of yourselves. And thanks for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. We look forward tomorrow to Indie Jazz Day. Tell a friend, come hang out with us. Good food, good music, and good company is always a wonderful combination. So it is hump day tomorrow, so come hang out with us, and we're going to just chill and have a good time together on Solar Records Radio. This is your boy, Wardell Potts Jr. Much love, and thank you for supporting my group, Dynasty. We appreciate you guys and love you very much for all that you're doing and buying our records. Woo, we are so excited. Anyway, take care. God bless. Have a good one.